People change. I don't think we have to have 20/20 vision to be able to see that, right? We see plenty of evidence of that around us. We see evidence of that in our own lives. We see evidence of that in the lives of others. And I think we can especially see it in things that really don't matter that much. And maybe I could just give a few personal examples. I must confess that my memories of my earliest days of childhood have gotten a little bit fuzzy, but I was probably like most young boys. You had to drag me kicking and screaming to get a bath. Wasn't too keen on that. Well, I can tell you that I have changed. I am actually eager to get a bath, a shower, pretty much every day. I remember also there was a time when in my early adult years that if I saw some person driving around in a minivan, especially if they weren't really advanced in age, in my mind that person was a loser, you know, if you're driving a minivan. Well, for about the last 32 years, we have had a minivan in our driveway or in our garage, so I changed, right? When I was growing up, my dad was a Florida Gators fan, and of course, growing up in Florida, I sort of took after that, and for years, I was an avid Florida fan. But then I married an Auburn graduate, ended up living pretty close to Auburn, and I changed. I changed and became an Auburn fan. Now, again, I'm just saying, these are things that really don't, in the end, amount to a hill of beans. We can see people changing so oftentimes in things that really don't matter all that much. But obviously, we want to make sure we get to talking about some things that really do matter a whole lot. But I want us to focus just on this ability to change for just a moment. I want us to think about how wonderful that is. What a precious blessing it is to have this ability to change. Not just in these things, these mundane things that I just went through, but in the things that really matter more than anything else. It is a wonderful thing. It is something for which we should be very thankful to God. And really what this means, I think we can kind of break it down into two parts. It means that we're not prisoners to nature or to nurture. And again, let's just talk about each one of those. I think you probably already have an idea of what I'm talking about. As far as nature, all along you may hear somebody say, maybe somebody points out some problem with their behavior and they say, well, that's just my nature. I can't help it. God would beg to differ. Yes, you can help it. You can change from being that way. That way that is not in harmony with God's will, to doing what is in harmony. You don't have to have this terrible flaw of character, right? You can change from that and be something better. Sometimes it's even expressed in that old adage of, you know, a leopard can't change his spots. And sometimes it's not necessarily nature, but it's just what we've become accustomed to, right? That I've been doing this for so long. I just can't break the habit. Again, that's just not right. God has blessed each one of us with the ability to change. Even if something has gotten ingrained in you, even if you've been doing it for many, many years, God has given you the capacity to change, obviously with His help and with His power. But now as far as nurture, what's the difference there? We're not prisoners to nature, but nor are we prisoners to nurture. In other words, the way we were raised. Somebody said, well, you know, that's just the way I was raised. That's all I've ever been used to, and I guess I'll just be the same way for the rest of my life. Maybe you don't say it quite that plainly, but does anybody here believe that? I want to know right now. Does anybody believe that? That the way you were raised, you're just stuck in that, okay? And there's nothing you can do about it. I was raised by the most selfish parents in the world. They didn't care about things, and that's just the way I'm going to be. You just name any kind of behavior, right? God has given us the ability to change. We can be so different than the way we were raised. We can change radically from the way we're raised, assuming that we're talking about something that's not what it should have been, right? God has given us the ability to change. Romans chapter 6 speaks to a dramatic change among those Christians there, and really this would be true no matter who you might be talking about. But turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And just for a sample, I mean, really this entire chapter would make for good reading, but let's look at verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That's a big change, right? From being slaves of sin to slaves of righteousness. Look, I'm talking to an audience, and I know some of you have been studying the Scriptures longer than others, but in your studies of both the Old Testament and the New Testament, have you run across a number of passages that speak to the free will of man? I would hope so. They're all over the Bible, right? From beginning to end, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know what? All of those passages that speak of our free will speak of what else in relation to the lesson today? The ability to change. God has granted us the ability to change. So it's not just seen in Romans 6. It's seen all through the Bible. In fact, isn't that really what repentance is all about? It's a change, right? And you see, through the Old Testament, right? What was Jeremiah's really main message and all the other prophets to those to whom God sent them? Repent. Repent. Change. I remember growing up, the definition that I would hear so oftentimes of repentance, and I believe it reflects exactly what the Scriptures teach. A change of mind that results in a change of action. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do you believe that's really what the Bible teaches? I think that's in harmony. A change of mind that results in a change of action. Now, that message of repentance was preached to some people, right? In many instances, that had just been surrounded by all kinds of evil. I mean, they had been engaged in every form of evil, had been doing it for so long. Nature and nurture, whatever you want to call it, was really fighting against them. But what was the message? Repent. You have the ability to turn. With God's help, with God's power, you can turn from these things. You can change your mind, and that will result in a change of behavior. So again, the main thing we're trying to emphasize here at the beginning part of this lesson is I can change my life with God's help. And what a wonderful, wonderful blessing that truly is. Right now, in the remainder of the lesson, what I want us to do is look at three different groups of people with the ability to change. Two of these, we're going to talk about it more in a good way, and then the last one will be more in a bad way. First of all, sinners can change. And by sinners, we're primarily talking here about those outside of Christ, right? Those who are not Christians. Sinners can change. First person that comes to your mind, New Testament, made a big change. You may have a different answer than me, but I think about Paul, right? Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. His big change from being the chief of sinners, and I'm not saying that's how God styled him. That's how he sort of styled himself, right? But he knew how far apart he was from the Lord. He knew that the things that he later began to preach, he was actually fighting against those things. No, that's not right. That is false. Anybody who believes that should be put to death. Okay? That's where he was. And you see what a big change he made, right? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. I want us to notice the reaction that some of the Christians in Judea, that area around Jerusalem, had when they saw this change and heard of this change in Paul. Galatians 1, beginning with verse 22. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. "And I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, 'He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy.'" And then I love what they did in response to that. "And they glorified God in me." The ultimate credit for that change was not given to Saul, right? It was given to God. What a great change. "He who once persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." I think about those people in Corinth. They're described there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go ahead and turn with me. 1 Corinthians 6, some of the things that are said about him, you know, we might look at people in some of these same categories. We might, I hope we don't, but we might look at some of the people in these same categories and say, well, they'll never change. They'll never change. Chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Again, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, with certain people, we sure are tempted to say there's no use. He or she will never change. Even, let's say, someone's living in adultery. They're in a marriage. They're married to someone that they have no right to. The Scriptures would label it adultery. The Lord would label it adultery. And let's say they've been in that marriage for 25 years. And it's obvious that they have great affection, great love for each other. In other words, in many ways, they just have this awesome marriage. You say, well, they would never, ever leave each other. Do we know that for sure? Do we know that for sure? Yeah, I understand that most times that is reaction. No, we can't do that. But there have been people who've made that change, right? There have been people who have been steeped in every kind of immorality you can think of who have changed through the power of God, right? They've changed. I still think about many years ago, a good friend of mine talking about a woman up in the Chicago, Illinois area. She had been a tavern owner for many years. He said, "You talk about..." He said, "I hate to use this terminology, but you think about the crusty old woman, rough and just brazen and just, you know, everything that formerly came out of her mouth was a cuss word, and she had just been involved in all kinds of things, and she was presented the gospel." Now, again, you walk into that tavern, you hear this lady talking, and you learn a little bit more about her. That doesn't sound like someone, right, who is on the brink of change. She changed. She came. Same thing happened to her that we read earlier in Romans chapter 6. She was a slave of sin. But she obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which she was delivered. And she became a slave of righteousness. People can change. The power of his cross, the power of his resurrection, the power of the gospel in general, all of this can change the hardest of hearts. Sometimes, and I know I have to remind myself of this all the time, because you have this study and you meet resistance, and you have another study and you meet more resistance, and you have another study and you meet more resistance, and Sometimes I just have to remind myself all over again. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Now, people have got to see the need for it, right? When they see the need for it, that's when, of course, its power will work mightily in them, right? When they see the need for it. But it's still every bit as powerful as it's always been. But then I want to talk about another category. The unfaithful among God's people can change. We're talking now about those who have entered into Christ but have become unfaithful. The unfaithful can change for the good, right? For the better. To whom was the Lord speaking when He said this? In Luke 22 and verse 32. When you have returned to Me, strengthen your brethren. To whom was the Lord speaking? He's talking to Peter, right? Right before this, He said, okay, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And then, of course, a few verses down, he reminds Peter again about how you're going to deny Me three times. But when you have returned to Me, strengthen your brethren. I always have loved that because that's what the Lord is looking for, right? You're going to go away from Me. You're going to deny Me. Nothing good about that. In fact, a lot bad about that. But I look forward to your return to Me. And again, I don't think Peter ever became hardened. This wasn't anything that he just planned to do for any period of time. He got off course for a while. I think even there in Galatians chapter 2, on a later occasion, he played the hypocrite. You know, Paul had to rebuke him to his face. Well, he would eat with these Gentiles. Had no problem eating with these Gentiles, but then some of his Jewish brethren would come along. Oh, I've got to get away. I don't want him to see me doing that, right? Again, momentary things for which he was always willing to return. But now, what about those situations where the denying of the Lord has become a persistent thing? It's been going on for a while. In other words, they've been sort of locked in for a period of time to this unfaithfulness. What about situations like that? Well, I'm going to mention just three examples here, and some of you who have been here a little bit longer will know exactly who these people are. Billy Cross, Gila Cawthon, Rose McQueen. The three people that I just mentioned, and we could name certainly many more over these years here at Prattmont, but those three people had become unfaithful. And if I'm remembering correctly, in all three cases, they had not been unfaithful for a day or two. They had been unfaithful for a long time. A long time. They changed. They changed. They changed from being unfaithful to again being faithful, diligently serving the Lord all over again. The gospel had its effect on them eventually, right? They sort of suppressed that gospel for a while, the things that should have been. I always love that song, that line in Rescue the Perishing. Chords that were broken will vibrate once more. I love that. Love that. Chords that were broken. Talking about the heart, the mind. Chords that were broken will vibrate once more. In other words, that gospel for so long was reaching the same mind. It was speaking to the same mind, the same heart, that just wasn't vibrating, wasn't doing anything. But then circumstances in their life changed, and now all of a sudden, somebody comes to them. It may even be just a simple invitation. We miss you. We'd love for you to come back. All of a sudden, those chords begin to vibrate all over again. People can change. Hypocrites among God's people can become sincere. The lazy among God's people can become diligent. Those who have lost their love for the Lord can love Him again. The addicted person can become sober. The selfish person can become self-sacrificing. The bitter person can become thankful. We could go on and on with all of that, right? The unfaithful among God's people can change. Let's don't give up too quickly. on our brethren. Right? And look, if we're in that category right now, the message is, not only can I change, but I need to change. I need to change right now. But then that final category, and this is that one I said that we'd be talking about in a bad way, but we need to heed this warning. The righteous can change. And we're talking about the righteous among God's people. We're not talking about the sinless, right? We know better than that. We're talking about those who are striving to walk in the ways of the Lord. When they realize that they don't do that, they're always penitent. They're always willing to acknowledge their sins and to receive forgiveness. That's who we're talking about. Know anyone in your circle of friends, your circle of brethren that you know anyone who used to be faithful and diligent in their service to the Lord, but who are no longer? Or it's even some of the people that we would have never dreamed would become unfaithful. Those that we might even consider as stalwarts, right? I mean, they're just as solid. I've made that statement before about people. And I don't use that phrase lightly. I've spoken of others who were solid. Some of the people that I said were solid are as weak as water today. It can happen. It's a cautionary tale, not just for a few of us. That's a cautionary tale for all of us, right? For all of us. And you and I both know it doesn't happen like overnight. Somebody doesn't wake up one day, hey, I have an announcement to all of you brethren. I have decided to walk away from the Lord. I don't plan to be faithful anymore. We know it doesn't happen like that. We drift away, right? We talked about some of that in Hebrews recently. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Look over in chapter 3. 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I don't know about you, when I read lest any of you, you know whose name I put in there? I put mine in there. That sounds very that's just a warning to all of us, right? To everybody. Lest any of you, lest you, Brian. In other words, don't think about brethren you know who need this warning. I sure wish so and so was here to hear that Hebrews 2:1 all over again. And I sure wish Sister So and so had heard that Hebrews 3 read. They really need that. No, I need that. I need to hear that all over again. But what happens is we begin to give less attention to attendance, less attention to prayer, less attention to study, less attention to being with other Christians, taking advantage not just in the assembly, but other opportunities in addition to that. And eventually we end up like Demas, right? What did Paul say about him? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. In other words, there are those who, when they come to Christ, honestly, at that time, he means everything to them. The world means nothing. There have been people that when they came to Christ, the world meant nothing to them anymore. It was all about him. But they changed from the world meaning nothing to them to it meaning almost everything to them. How does that happen? Could it happen to you? Could it happen to me? Sure it could. That's why we need to give the more earnest heed, right, that we just read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. warning there in 1 Corinthians 10, certainly very appropriate in verse 12. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The righteous can change in a bad way to becoming unrighteous. We certainly don't want that to happen. Go ahead and get out your songbook. We'll sing that song of invitation here in just a moment. Perhaps this morning someone is ready to make that transition from being a slave of sin to being a slave of righteousness. We read there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which they were delivered. And I believe that refers to the earlier part of that chapter when it talks about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. You see, when we're baptized and we're raised up to walk in newness of life, we're going through that form of doctrine, right? We're uniting with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. So if we can assist you with that this morning, or coming back to the Lord, let us know as we stand and sing.